There ought to be something to draw everyone in. Maybe we could have some sort of a fair. Not a town fair, not a county fair or a state fair, not even a national fair, but a world's fair. That would draw people in. That would draw everyone in. That no one would be excluded. A world's fair to bring in people from all over the world. That was the idea, or something like that. Sometime in the 1950s, a group of people in New York were gathering together and thinking, isn't there something we could do? Isn't there some sort of event that we could have that would bring in people from all over the world? And they were looking at this site in Flushing Meadows in New York City, Queens. And they thought, we should have a fair there, right there. It's a nice spot. It's a good spot. And we could have a world's fair, and we could invite people from all over the world. And we should have it in 1964. I don't think they were that exact when they were brainstorming this, but that's when it ended up happening. Sometime in the 50s, they started thinking about this, and they started working on it. And then in 1964, we had a world's fair in New York City. And as these people were putting it together, dreaming about it, thinking about it, they were reaching out to different organizations and different companies and asking, could you come and create a pavilion in the World's Fair that we're going to have? So we can have all of these pavilions throughout the fair that people can come and see, and they can learn about your stuff and what you do. And then that would be something for people to see. And one of the organizations that they reached out to was UNICEF. UNICEF does all kinds of wonderful work for children in need around the world. And they reached out to UNICEF, and UNICEF said, yeah, we'd love to do that. You know what, though? We're really good at reaching out to people in trouble, but we don't know how to create a pavilion. And they said, well, that's fine. You can find someone else to do it. And they said, okay. And they reached out to Walt Disney, because who else? And they told Walt Disney that they were going to do this pavilion at the World's Fair, and couldn't Walt come up with something? And Walt said, sure, we can come up with something. And Walt came up with this idea. It was a ride called the Children of the World, which makes sense if you're representing UNICEF. And this ride was a boat ride. So you'd sit in these little boats and you'd float past scenes of animatronic dolls dressed in costumes reflecting different countries and different cultures from around the world. And originally the idea was that as you passed a different scene, you would hear the national anthem of whatever country they were representing in that particular scene, which seemed like a great idea. Of course you would do something like that. But as they were putting it together and they were walking through this pavilion, this ride, as it was being constructed, and they were playing all of these national anthems, they found that the songs were creating this massive muddled noise, this mess, and you couldn't really hear any one of them because they were layered over the top of each other. So Walt went to his songwriters, Robert and Richard Sherman, and he said to them, I need a song. I need a song for this ride about children of the world. And the song needs to be simple. And it needs to be, excuse me, it needs to be easily translatable into many different languages. Can you come up with a song like that? They said, sure. And they worked at it, and they worked at it, and they came up with a simple song that was easily translatable. It's a Small World, After All. The fair opened, and the UNICEF Pavilion was massively popular. There was constantly a long line of people excitedly waiting to hop into one of Walt's little boats. The song was also quite a success, so much so that they changed the name of the ride from Children of the World to It's a Small World. The tune would get stuck in people's heads as they walked around the fair. The tune remained stuck in their heads as they drove home. Let's be honest, the tune remained stuck in their heads for the rest of their lives. When the fair was over, they took the ride apart and they shipped it to California, and they installed it at Disneyland, where the song continues to play. The song continues to get stuck in people's heads for the rest of their lives. The song is both remarkably simple, but also incredibly complex. And the reason why it's complex is that it's written in counterpoint. And what this means is that there are two distinct musical lines happening at the same time. Two distinct musical lines happening at the same time. They are harmonically dependent on each other. Yet the rhythm and melody are independent. Just want to say that whole thing again. Counterpoint. Two distinct musical lines happening at the same time that are harmonically dependent, yet rhythmically and melodically independent. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small, small world. And while that is happening, it's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hope and a world of fears. There's so much that we share, and it's time we're aware. It's a small world after all. And you all will be cursing me later this afternoon when that is still stuck in your head. When you take the chorus and the verse and sing them at the same time, the notes of one fills in the holes in the harmony of the other. Counterpoint. As you're going through the ride, you hear the song being sung. One scene is singing a chorus, the next scene is singing a verse, the next scene is singing the chorus, the next scene is singing the verse, and they're layering over each other, supporting one another, filling in the holes of the previous scene. And they're singing in their own languages as you go through the ride. Counterpoint. Two distinct things happening, but supporting and necessary to one another. The gospel lesson. Jesus is looking out at the crowds of people, and he comments, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And he has compassion on the crowds. And so he goes about commissioning some shepherds. He goes about calling some people to be sent out to these sheep. And he sends them out with authority over unclean spirits. He sends them out with authority over misjudgments and shame and exclusion and isolation, authority to reach through the unclean, unspoken social barriers, dividing people, isolating people, excluding people. He sends them out with this authority. He also sends them out to cure, to heal, to relieve sickness, to relieve whatever weakness or whatever weakens or destroys vitality. That's the work of the shepherd. That's what Jesus calls them to do. To reach into these, to reach through these barriers, to relieve whatever weakens vitality. That's the authority that Christ is giving to his shepherds. And then Jesus in the gospel lesson talks for a little bit. And as he talks, there's an interesting and subtle blurring of the roles, because there seems to also be a calling to the sheep to whom the shepherds are being sent. They also have a responsibility. They also have authority given to them. The authority to welcome, to care for, to encourage and support the shepherds. There is a counterpoint to it. The roles play off of each other, of sheep and shepherd. They are distinct, and they are both independent from each other while being dependent upon each other. The holes in one filling the gaps in the other. Sheep supporting shepherd as shepherd cares for sheep. But then take the comparison one step further to It's a Small World. The song is sung in a round. As you're going through the ride, you hear it over and over and over again, just flowing. Verse to chorus, verse to chorus, verse to chorus. Verse becoming chorus, chorus becoming verse. Shepherd to sheep, to shepherd to sheep, to shepherd to sheep. The one bringing care, the other being cared for. The counterpoint roles, both dependent and independent of each other, both blurring the lines of the roles, one becoming a shepherd, and then the sheep, and then a shepherd, caring for, being cared for, caring for, being cared for, changing roles in this spiritual round of a song that God has come to us. Christ has called people and sent them to us. That is the whole purpose of all of this sending and commissioning. The song itself, It's a Small World, has become a cliche. And it gets made fun of over and over again. It gets made fun of in The Lion King. It gets made fun of in Shrek. It gets made fun of in many other cultural references. Yet maybe that was the point of it. It's a simple message to be shared over and over and over again and remembered. It's a small world after all. Christ has called people and sent them to us with a simple message. The kingdom of God has come to you. Christ has called us with a simple message to be shared with others. The kingdom of God has come to you. It's a message in a round. It's a message shared in counterpoint. Both are distinct roles. Both are independent roles, yet dependent upon each other. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.